South Dakota Public Broadcasting, sdpb.org.
Senate Ag Committee will come to order. Secretary, call the roll.
Bradford.
Here.
Garnos.
Here.
Hansen. Klochek.
Here.
Maher.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Valley.
Here.
Howie.
Here.
Roden.
Here.
Quorum is present. We have the minutes. Is there any comments or action on the minutes? Additions, corrections, action?
Move approve.
Motion by Howie to approve the minutes, seconded by Senator Hansen. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Hansen isn't here, but it was Valley.
Oh, Senator Valley. Any comments, Senator Valley? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. A couple reminders before we get started. If you want to testify today, we'd ask that you sign up at the podium by the front door. Also, you might check your cell phones and make sure they're on the appropriate setting. Any other announcements before we get started today? Seeing none, we will take up Senate Bill 135, an act to revise certain statutes relating to the granting of certain licenses by the Animal Industry Board. Senate Bill 135 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Ag and Natural Resources Committee. It's a pleasure to be here. Senate Bill 135 is actually brought forward by the Animal Industry Board, and it is actually still a work in progress thing because, you know, there's components, you know, consisting of the livestock auction markets and the Animal Industry Board, which is, you know, primarily looked after the interests of the livestock producers. And the, you know, the goal of both is pretty much the same. But the wording of this bill has just not yet reached the point where it is ready for prime time. And with that in mind, I would ask that you table Senate Bill 135.
Thank you. With that, unless there are anybody else here that has something that they need to say about that, I am prone to go straight to committee action. Senator Klochek.
Move to table.
Motion by Klochek, Senator by Garnos. Tabling motion is non-debatable. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Garnos.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Klochek.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Howie.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. House Bill 135 is tabled. That will take us to House Bill 1001, an act to revise certain provisions related to free access to state parks and recreation areas to include certain persons with disabilities. House Bill 1001 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's good to be back after such a long absence, and I just happen to think that I forgot to introduce myself at the last time I was here. I'm Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22, representing Beetlehand and Girald counties. House Bill 1001 is one of the bills originating from the summer study agency review of the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. Current law 41-17-13.4 outlines several who are eligible to obtain a free admission to any of our state parks and recreation areas. This bill adds language in Section 1 to include those who have served on active duty and are classified by the Veterans Administration as being totally disabled as a result of their service-connected injury. Those who qualify for this free park admission will be eligible for issuance of a free lifetime entrance pass. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I will stand down. I know Representative Nygaard was actually brought this idea forward at the time of our agency review last summer, and he's to be complimented, and I know that he and maybe others want to testify also.
Further proponents.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Eldon Nygaard, District 17, Turner and Clay County. And as Senator Hansen pointed out, I was also a member of this summer review committee, Game, Fish, and Parks. And really all this bill does is, I shouldn't say all this bill does, this bill is a further recognition of the sacrifice that our veterans in the state of South Dakota have given to this great country of ours and in representing our state. It's a further recognition, and it also, at a time when we have a deepening recession, it represents a savings to the currently the situation is that the people who have 100% disability can apply for and obtain a permit to go to state parks for free each year. That means that each year some 455 out of the roughly 700 who are eligible have been applying for and getting this permit. What it would do would make it a lifetime permit so that we could save the application time and the administrative cost of reprocessing. Once this is done and completed, those 455 or whoever who's eligible applies will not have to go through that each year. It is a process then that will be eliminated, and if you have 455 applications in 365 days and a lot smaller number of days that are actual work days, you can see that it frees up some administrative time. So I respectfully request that you do pass, and I'll stand by for further questions.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Vonk. I'm your secretary for Game, Fish, and Parks. And the two other proponents that testified were part of that summer study committee, and I'm here to tell you I was the subject of that summer study committee. I rise in support of HB 1001. As has already been testified to, this bill reinforces our commitment to our veterans who are disabled in their service. The added feature, as Representative Nygaard testified, is that this will create the lifetime pass option, which we view also, as already testified to, as a savings administratively, both to the disabled veteran and also to the department. And for those reasons, I'm here to support the bill, and we'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will open the committee to questions. Any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Howey.
I do have a quick question for Secretary Vaughn, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
The chair is not going to allow any amendments having to do with dogs hunting mountain lions either.
And I yield my time. Seems pointless.
Yes.
I just wanted to welcome you here this morning and commend you for the lapel pin that you have. I'm sure that's an obvious demonstration or indication of your newfound support for non-domestic species being hunted in the state, and I just want to cheer you on in that regard.
Mr. Chairman, was that a question?
Secretary. You can make it whatever you want.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Senator Howard, thank you for the compliment. And often we are in favor of non-domestic feathered creatures for positive economic value to our communities.
Any Any other questions? Any legitimate questions? Seeing none, we will close to comments and or action from the committee. Senator Garnos.
Mr. Chairman, I make a do-pass motion on House Bill 1001.
A do-pass by motion by Senator Garnos, second by Senator Valley. Comments on that motion? Senator Garnos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I appreciate the department. I also appreciate Representative Nygaard bringing this forward. I mean, it's something that's, I think, the least we can do. One of the least things that we can do up here to honor the people that have, you know, disabilities or have worked hard here for South Dakota in various areas. So I would ask a do-pass motion.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass House Bill 1001. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Garnos.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Klocek.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Howie.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1001 goes to the floor with a do pass. Senator Garnos.
No, I'd move consent.
Consent. Seconded by Senator Peterson. All in favor of the motion to put 1001 on consent, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. House Bill 1001 goes to the floor. Do pass on consent.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Garnos.
Can I be allowed a personal privilege today?
Granted.
Thank you very much. I want to introduce the Lyman High School class from Lyman County and the various communities. Their instructor, Tom Althier and Jed McNaughton, they're here witnessing government in action today.
Why don't you guys stand up from Lyman? Welcome to the Senate Ag Committee. And I will also take the opportunity to, you guys can be seated. Boy, they follow instruction pretty well, don't they, there in Lyman. The pages for today are Carol Ann Malloy, happens to be a neighbor of mine, and also Shawnee Price, who's all kind of an extended neighbor of mine. Thank you, gals. Okay, we will go back to the calendar and take up House Bill 1004, an act to provide for the killing of mountain lions under certain circumstances. House Bill 1004 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony. Seeing none, any opponents? No. Are there proponents?
I think that's you.
I'm sorry, I was visiting. I know that's surprising. Representative Betty Olson from District 28. I am testifying in favor of this. I don't have much to say, just that this is already policy under Game and Fish. And like Representative Bruner says, good policy makes good law. The reason that we're bringing this was Game and Fish will testify that their policy is to not prosecute. Say I'm out in my pasture, see a mountain lion, I shoot it, they're not going to lock me up. That's policy. It's not law. They can lock me up, and in the past they have locked people up for this. I will give you an example. Down in the Black Hills, northern Black Hills, there was two neighbors living side by side. Both of them run sheep. The older neighbor looked out his picture window one morning, and he's got a mountain lion walking right across the front of his place. Didn't have a rifle in the house, so he called his adjoining neighbor, who was retired from Wildlife Services. I said Game and Fish earlier. I have been corrected. It is Wildlife Services. Called him to come over and shoot his mountain lion that was out in front of his place, an obvious threat to both of their places. The neighbor came over onto the neighbor's property and shot the mountain lion, who was a threat to both of their livestock, not to mention their families. And the neighbor that came over and did what the other neighbor had asked, was arrested and taken to jail. So there is a precedent. We need this written into law. That's the only example I can think of that anybody has been arrested for shooting a mountain lion, but I would just like to never have to be able to give you another example. So I'll stand by for questions if anybody has any.
Thank you. We'll hold questions. Any further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, we will go to opponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of Ag and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Tony Life. I am Director of the Wildlife Division for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. And while I appear before you this morning in opposition to House Bill 1004, I must be clear here that department opposition to this bill lies not with the bill in its entirety, but rather our opposition is founded in just two words, and those two words are on line 7 of the bill. Those two words are the second and third of line 7, which should be or perceived. We are opposed to these two words because they serve to remove any level of accountability from any individual that elects to kill a mountain lion. You know, if you think about it, one of the most fundamental components of any society is accountability for our actions. Some level of accountability is universally fundamental to our responsibilities as law-abiding citizens. If this bill passes in its current form, the simple response to any incident involving the killing of a mountain lion is, I perceived it was a threat, therefore it was one. State law says so. The circumstances under which that mountain lion was killed no longer matter. The pertinent facts surrounding the incident are rendered irrelevant. All that matters is just a simple matter of perception, and whether or not that perception is justified, it no longer matters. Now, if this bill was amended to remove these two words, the bill would align with our current operating policy, as Representative Olson has pointed out. You know, right now, landowners that justifiably perceive a threat from a mountain lion on their property can take the action that they feel is appropriate to remove that threat. But that perception has to be substantiated by the actual facts of the incident. Without the word perceived, this bill pretty much mirrors the common sense policies that we currently operate under when it comes to these types of incidents. You know, given our current operating policy, I could perhaps make a valid argument that there is no need to have this language in statute. Yet, as Representative Olson argues, if the bill and the policies are directly aligned, then that same argument could be made to support passage of the bill. But before we get to the point of discussing policies versus statute and what's appropriate policy and what's appropriate statute, I think we need to return to the troublesome language that's in the bill. I believe that it would be irresponsible to enact a statute that removes the essential element of accountability for one's actions. In this case, those actions surround the killing of a big game animal. Now, I think it's important to point out that we, as department officials, do not have the ability to lock anyone up. We have a charge put forth on us by the people of this state to enforce the laws and rules that are enacted by this body and the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. It is judges and it is the judicial system that decides whether or not individuals should be penalized for violations of these rules. We do not have the authority to take people to jail or to impose any type of sentence. If restoration of some level of accountability came to House Bill 1004, it would, for the most part, serve to dissolve department opposition to this bill's passage, and I encourage your consideration to amend the bill accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other opponents? Any other opponents? Seeing none, Representative Olson, would you like a rebuttal?
I would just like to point out that, no, the Game and Fish can't lock anybody up, but they can arrest you, and that's what we're trying to address here. Conservation officers are law enforcement officers, and they can arrest us. So this will just help alleviate that worry for a lot of us.
Okay. Any other? We will now go to questions from the committee. Representative Olson, could you come back up? I have a question for you. Would you have any objections would you consider that a friendly amendment to remove the words or perceived from line 7 in your bill?
Not necessarily, no. Because it's a nebulous term. I perceive that a mountain lion out in my pasture is an imminent threat. Now, if that was taken out, I would still perceive that, but I don't see that this helps the bill by having it in there or out of there. I'd leave it where the way it is, but that's just me.
Okay, understand. Further questions, Senator Klocek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tony, in your testimony, you said you wanted those words "as perceived" taken out. Was the Game Fish and Parks actively involved in this agency review study this summer?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Klocek, just to clarify that the two words are "or perceived."
Or perceived. Okay.
And we were involved, as Secretary Vaught previously mentioned. We spent 4 or 5 wonderful days with the review committee, had the chance to talk about a lot of these issues. I can tell you that these two words were actually a late add-on to the original draft of this legislation that came before the committee. I don't know that a great deal of discussion occurred among the committee members, and I certainly don't want to speak for numerous members of this committee that sat on that committee also. But I did look back at the minutes, and the two words "or perceived" were among an amendment to the original bill that was brought forth for consideration of that committee.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Mr. Leaf, so then you were aware of this amendment at the summer study, and did you testify against it at that time?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Klocek, we did not testify for or against any of the potential pieces of legislation that were taken under consideration by the summer study committee. We always attempted to provide the committee with as good of information as we could as they discussed the alternatives, but we did not take a position on any bill or any potential amendment to any bill.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Tony.
Further questions, Senator Howey.
Yes, as you know, you and I have had conversations about this, and I've given quite a little bit of time and thought to those two words as well. And maybe you can help me or respond to a question that I have. If these two words are removed from this bill, then would my understanding be correct to say that it would be Game and Fish discretion to determine whether the person's perception was justifiable or not?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Howey, I believe it is accurate in the course of the investigation that, yes, it will be to the discretion or to the investigation of the investigating officer. It will be to his or her discretion to find out if the facts of the incident substantiate the perception. But ultimately, it would be the decision of a court should it go to that process.
For Senator Howey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many situations in the last couple of years have there been where someone has killed a mountain lion where there was a threat or a perceived threat?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Howey, thank you for the question. I'm glad you asked it, because since year 2000, there have been 9 incidents where landowners have taken action toward an animal that they perceive to be an offending animal on their property. And that's specifically what this perceived portion of the bill pertains to. And in all 9 of those instances, no charges were ever filed.
Further questions? Seeing none, we will go to comments and or action. Senator Valley.
I did have a question.
I'm sorry.
Does your policy then not have the verbiage or perceived? So these 9 incidents that we're talking about fit under the rule of imminent threat without the or perceived? Is that correct? Is that more close to your policy?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Vail, I think it's very important to point out that there is no written policy, that this is a common sense policy, that if any individual can articulate a sense of fear either for themselves or their property, and that fear is substantiated by a reasonable amount of facts, then the case would be one where we would not pursue any charges.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we will go to action from the committee. Senator Garnos.
I would make a motion to amend House Bill 1004. If you go down to line 7, I would have the 2 words or perceived deleted. So on line 7, it would read imminent threat to such persons, livestock, or pets. I think we heard.
Second.
Motion to amend by Senator Garnos, seconded by Senator Bradford. Comments on that motion? Everybody clear on that motion?
And I think we heard from the Mr. Chairman,
Senator Garnos. Case,
we heard from the Game Fish and Park. There are 9 cases. There were no arrests made. I mean, the facts bear it out for themselves. And myself, I tend to agree it's common sense. You know, what you perceive as imminent and what that is. I think this makes the bill a little bit better as we move forward.
Further comments? Senator Howey.
I'm going to resist the motion because I, as I mentioned, I've given considerable thought to the verbiage, and I don't disagree that this you could argue this either way, but I think we need to be careful because what we're doing, if we remove this, is we're basically placing someone in potential jeopardy of having to prove their innocence instead of compelling the GF&P to demonstrate their guilt. And so I have a concern with that direction that we're going. And I'll just conclude by saying that we all have heard stories about the GF&P making an arrest or some kind of a confrontation, and I'd like to see them have the opportunity to diffuse some of those. And this by removing these words, I think it puts them in the potential situation where they may have to make a judgment call on the spot that could create more animosity. So I would urge you to resist the motion.
Any other comments? Senator Bradford.
Well, I'm coming just the opposite because I know that at one time in my life I would have had a lot of fun shooting mountain lions running around. I'm serious. I mean, there is people who would like to say they killed a couple of lions that they perceived were a threat. And don't get me wrong. I'm not expressing a love for law enforcement or Game Fish and Parks. I'm in no way. I've been through those battles many times. And So all I'm doing is thinking about, to me, these things are a special thing that we have, and the Black Hills are a special thing. And that's where they are, most of them. Yeah, I know they do get off there once in a while, but I wish they'd come down to the res. Wow. But I think that really and truly, this is a, they haven't overextended themselves on the 9 cases. I just think it makes it a better bill, that's all.
I will make a couple comments because I do have some definite opinions on this amendment. First of all, I think it's reasonable, the amendment, to take that language out, because I think that Mr. Leaf was correct in stating that if you leave the word perceived, that it is so ambiguous that it virtually makes it wide open. I think, given their track record, that it's reasonable to take that language out. Imminent threat, by nature of the way it's written, I would say does include your perception. It has to be a part of it. But to include the language, I think it leaves it very open-ended. A couple other things, I'll be palms up and say this also. If you leave this language, if we leave this language in there, Representative Olson, I would venture to guess that this bill will not stand a snowball chance on the floor of passage. And I think that it's reasonable that this committee do its diligence to bring legislation to the floor that at least has a chance to be debated and get on the floor. And if you believe that there's necessity in putting language on the books to change policy into the law, then let's go to the floor with something that we can actually have a chance of passing. So for those reasons, I would ask you to support the motion to amend. Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is the motion to amend. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
Motion to amend. Motion to amend. I heard you.
I want to make sure.
I heard you the first time. Motion to amend passes. House Bill 1004 is so amended. Further comments and or action?
Senator
Mr. Howey.
Chairman.
Move do pass as amended.
Motion by Senator Howey, seconded by Senator Bradford. Do pass as amended. Comments on that motion?
No.
Seeing none, motion then is do pass as amended, House Bill 1004. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Carnos.
Aye.
Hansen. Senator Hansen. Klochek.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Howey.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1004 goes to the floor. Do pass as amended. Personal privilege.
I was going to offer a little humor of a motion to consent.
Well, even steers try. Any other announcements or motions before the committee? Seeing none. Motion to adjourn by Senator Valley, seconded by Senator Garnos. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned.